Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, one of the interesting topics that comes up in math is the matter of probability. And recently I had opportunity to teach this in algebra class. And basically, probability is a percentage. You determine how many times out of 100 that something will happen. If something happens every single time, we would say it has a probability of 100% or 1. It's just going to happen every time. And so ways of showing probability is, for example, flipping coins in the air and seeing how many, you know, what's the probability of heads coming up or tails coming up. I also had the students bring, you know, dice from board games, and we tabulated, you know, the probability of, you know, throwing two sixes or two odd numbers or two even numbers and so on and so forth. And one thing that can be established pretty quickly is that there's no such thing as 100% probability insofar as, say, heads coming up all the time on a coin or always going to, you know, to throw two sixes. It's just not going to happen. We calculated somewhere between 6%, maybe 40% of the time, depending on the configuration that we were looking at. So, my dear brethren, applying probability to the future, can any of us say that something will happen 100% of the time? We know that we really can't say that. We cannot prophesy. We cannot predict the future. The only time there's 100% probability is when God reveals the future to somebody. And that is only because God knows the future. God knows all things past, present, future. And because God knows all things, He can tell us what will happen. And if we look at the Old Testament, we're going to see many times where God gave a prophecy through one of the inspired writers of Holy Scripture. And the one thing we know about God's prophecy is that it's 100% probable. In other words, it's going to happen. Absolutely. Because, again, God knows all things. So the reason I brought up this idea of probability in math is to call your attention to all of the prophecies in the Old Testament regarding the coming of the Savior. And every one of these prophecies, individually and collectively, have had 100% chance of happening. Because, again, God knows the future. No human being is capable of such certainty, of predicting such things. Now, if God had given us only one or two prophecies, that would have been enough, wouldn't it? Something about the Savior, that would have been enough to give us that certainty that He was going to come. But God did far better or far more than that. As Bishop Sheen has pointed out, there are 456 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Savior. And each one of those prophecies had 100% probability. In other words, each one was a certainty. Now, many of those prophecies are more indirect. In other words, they're not as clear as some of the others. There are anywhere from 50 to 100 explicitly clear prophecies, such as, he will be born in Bethlehem. He will be betrayed with 30 pieces of silver. He will have a very painful passion and death. He will rise from the dead. He will be born of a virgin. These are absolutely, unmistakably clear prophecies. So do you see, my dear brethren, how good God has been? And always is, of course. To give us unmistakable signs of the Savior's coming. And if anybody doesn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the incarnate God, it is only because he or she rejects this unmistakable evidence. Rejects the 456 prophecies. And whose fault is that? It cannot be anybody else's but their own. This is overwhelming evidence. As I said, even if there were only one or two prophecies, that would be enough. But God gave us 456. And St. Paul is mentioning some of these today in the epistle. I will praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name. There shall be a root of Jesse, he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall have hope. And St. Paul, in writing this letter to the Romans, is saying, the Savior came for you, not just for the Jews. He didn't just come for the chosen people of the Old Testament. He's coming for everybody. And look, the prophecy has been fulfilled. God is so good that not only did he give us all these hundreds of prophecies, Jesus also worked miracles, and we read about that in today's gospel. Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus answering said to them, go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Do you see, my dear brethren, how much God has done to prove his point? How can anybody, in the face of hundreds of prophecies and the factual recording of dozens upon dozens upon dozens of miracles, say, I don't believe? So the proof is overwhelming for Jesus Christ to be believed in, adored, and worshipped as the incarnate God, as the Messiah. So you see why the church puts this in the themes during Advent. Today's liturgy, the epistle and gospel, is about prophecies and miracles. We need to remember such things, my dear brethren, because sometimes our faith gets tested. Our hope starts to falter. Our charity starts to grow cold. And all we need to do is turn again to God's holy word. Read the prophecies. Read about the miracles. To renew your faith. To revive your hope. to light up the flame of your charity. Think deeply upon these things, my dear brethren. This is what Advent is about. Letting those great truths sink into us more than ever, than before. He came for me. He proved his point. Think about this too. Even if our Lord hadn't worked any miracles, just the very fact that these prophecies were fulfilled is proof enough. Because again, only God knows the future. And every single prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. I mean, our Lord drinking vinegar, you know, the sponge soaked in vinegar and gall, just so he could fulfill a prophecy. Every one of them had to be fulfilled. And they were. My dear brethren, applying this to our lives, for we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, and Savior. Remember that God's promises have that 100% probability. In other words, they are certain. Whatever God has promised, He will give to you. Not at the time, maybe, that you expect. But God will always keep His word. I mean, hasn't He shown that to us in the past? Of course He has. So let this inspire you to a greater trust and confidence in Him. May I also remind you, my dear brethren, that some of these prophecies pertain to our Blessed Mother. She's the mother of the Savior. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. And even more, the foundational verse of the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15. I will set enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head. These prophecies, my dear brethren, beyond a shadow of a doubt, show that Mary's role is most great. She is the mother of God. She is the co-redemptrix. She is the mediatrix of all graces. One thing that's so beautiful and inspiring this week is that we will be celebrating two feasts of the Immaculate Conception. The obvious one on December 8th. But don't forget what the real title of Our Lady is, who appeared in Mexico City in 1531. She told Juan Diego, I am she who crushes the head of the serpent. What does that make her? That makes her the Immaculate Conception. Well, it doesn't make her. It identifies her as the Immaculate Conception. And that's a prophecy with 100% probability, certainty, in other words. And by the very fact of her Immaculate Conception, she is already crushing and has been crushing the head of the serpent, the devil, for these past 2,000 years. True, the devil has some successes that God allows him to have. But his power is being crushed and will finally be crushed through the woman. So as we go through this holy season of Advent, I urge you, my dear brethren, to spend it in union with Mary. There is no better way to spend Advent than to try to be close to Our Lady. I mean, after all, The last part of the 4,000 years, remember, those four candles represent 4,000 years. The last part of it was the 9 months of Mary's pregnancy. Emmanuel was there. God was already with us, and nobody knew except for Mary, and later on when the angel revealed to Saint Joseph that God is already here. Can anyone have had a better spirit, a better disposition, a better knowledge, a better living of the Old Testament covenant than Mary during those 9 months that Emmanuel was in her? So please, get closer to your Heavenly Mother. Think with her thoughts. Love with her love. Believe with her faith. Trust with her trust. Pray with her prayers. Sacrifice with her sacrifices. These last 2.5 or so weeks of Advent, and you will have the best Advent you can have. Remember, the way to the Son is through His Mother. There should be no doubt, from the past or from the miracles that have been worked through Mary's intercession or her messages, go to Jesus through Mary. On Christmas Day, when you offer to Jesus your good works, your spiritual preparation of Advent, where are you going to find Him? Besides in the cradle, you will also find Him in the arms of His Mother when she is picking Him up. So go to Jesus through Mary, His Holy Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.